Good morning, Open Door. Hey, welcome if you're watching on the live stream. We appreciate it. Revelation 19, friends. Near the end of the book. This morning I want to contrast what we should be doing as Christians, which is flooding our lives with praise, and compare that to what we should not be doing as Christians, which is flooding our lives with complaints. Now, to be honest, if there was ever a year to complain, it's 2020. I get that. I mean, there are lists of reasons why I think we could argue this is a reason to complain. And we could have multiple categories, from the pandemic to the economy, to politics, to everything else. This could be the year of complaining. But as Christians, we got to ask ourselves, are you doing more praising than you are complaining? And why is that? So this is fall, my favorite time of the year. I love it. And partly because I get to watch football. So I am an ex, very poor quarterback. I love football, wasn't great at it, but I played quarterback in high school, so now I get to watch. So I'm the armchair quarterback now, and I play fantasy football with my sons and some others. And anybody play fantasy football? Okay, don't pick it up if you don't. So basically, here's how it works. You get to be the coach, and you get to draft a team of NFL players, and then you play against others who've also drafted their teams, and then every week, your players, they get points when they score, do certain things. And then, you know, you try to win. So as a fantasy football coach, you know, on Sundays, I watch the games and watch my players. And I'm, every Sunday, I'm yelling at my TV screen because I'm mad at the fantasy football players for not doing what I want them to do. I'm complaining to a screen. And, of course, the players could care less about me because they're trying to win for their team and their fans, you know. And it's just one example of the multitudes of useless things that we complain about, as opposed to the multitudes of things that we should be praising God about. So honestly, how about you? How often do you find yourself complaining these days as compared to praising these days? Well, today we're going to look at why we should praise, and why we should join the grand chorus in heaven of saying hallelujah, the Lord our God Almighty reigns. And Revelation 19, it's going to tell us that as believers, our lives should be characterized by praise as we await the glorious return of our King Jesus. Let me say that one more time. As believers, our lives should be characterized by praise as we await the glorious return of our King, Jesus Christ. Follow along with me, if you would, Revelation 19 and verse 1. And let's see if we can find the fourfold hallelujah in this passage four times. Here we go. And after these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Now, here we are at the end of Revelation, at the end of the book, and John is seeing another great vision of the end of all things. In chapters 17 and 18, we saw the destruction of Babylon the Great. I understand this to be that one last great world empire that will take place in the future, that will be led by Antichrist, empowered by Satan, his main spokesperson, the false prophet, in this unholy Trinity will empower the kings and the rulers and the political leaders and the rich merchants and businessmen of this world all to come together into one gigantic global empire that will be defined by wealth and luxury and immorality and the worship of the Antichrist and the grand persecution of the people of God who remain on earth. And this is Babylon the Great. And when John saw Babylon the Great in his vision, he saw it rise up powerfully, but then as quickly as it rose up, John says, in just an hour, a very small period of time, it began to disintegrate. To the point where at the end of chapter 18, the rich and the wealthy and the powerful of the world are now, they're not rejoicing. They're mourning over the fact that Babylon the Great has fallen. And that's all they say, fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great. And all over the earth there is mourning heard. The self-indulgent wealthy will have all lost their wealth. Fallen, they will say. Fallen was our great empire. And the immoral yet powerful leaders of Babylon will all have lost their power. And in mourning, they will say, fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great. And those who persecuted God's people will now yell out in agony because, as we know, God will be at this point in time pouring out vials of his wrath upon the earth. And in torment, these earth dwellers will cry out, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. And they will shake their fists at God in hatred in their agony. And so as those who had reigned and ruled over Babylon are now crying out in mourning, all over the earth, John sees a new vision. And he always sets up a new vision in Revelation by saying, after these things, right? So here's a new vision. And he says, after these things, I heard something, not on earth, I heard something in heaven. It was something he said, like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. And this great multitude of heavenly hosts were saying a word that you should be familiar with. The word was, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've heard that word before, right? I think if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, or if you've even been exposed to Christianity, you've probably heard this word, hallelujah. But what does hallelujah actually mean? Well, I got to take you all the way back because the word hallelujah is an amazing word. It's one of the very few words that have stood the test of time. In both, we say it the same way that it was originally stated, and it means the same thing that it originally meant. And no matter what time period in history or no matter what language you might speak, it all means the same thing. There's very, very few words that have transcended the time like hallelujah. So all the way back, during the time when the Israelites would worship the Lord, especially if they were worshiping the tabernacle or the temple, they would cry out during times of worship, hallelujah. It found its way into the worship of the synagogues. It would have been something that was sung or said during the time when Jesus entered the synagogues. And even when the transition from Hebrew to Greek took place, the Hebrew word hallelujah was simply transliterated. They didn't change a thing, and so it just became a Greek word, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It meant the same thing. When the Bible was translated later in Latin, they kept it the very same. Hallelujah. When the Bible was translated into Spanish in Reino Valera, hallelujah. King James, hallelujah. Portuguese, German, Chinese, everywhere you go. I've traveled to so many different countries. And when you're doing a church in a different culture, in a different language, You often sit in church and just kind of smile because you have no clue what people are saying. But every once in a while, someone might say, amen. You're like, oh, I know that one. But inevitably, no matter where you're at, all over the world, at some point in time, someone in church is going to say, hallelujah. And you go, I know what that is. Or do you? Do you still not know what it means? Well, let me help you. How many of you actually went to Sunday school growing up or children's church? Raise your hand. All right. Now, if you did, you probably heard this little song that goes like this. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. That was super weak. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. That's what alleluia means. It means praise you people, the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Everybody at home, praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye. And every time you see, which by the way, it's only found in the book of Revelation in the New Testament, with the Hebrew, alleluia. And in the Old Testament, in your Bibles, it will just say, praise ye the Lord. And there's always an exclamation point. Not many exclamation points in the Bible, but always when you see hallelujah, it is an exclamation. We are God's people and we ought to be praising him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 135 and 3 is part of the Hallel Psalms. So hallelujah, basically two words. Hallel, which means praise, and Yah, or Yahweh. You know what that means, the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Psalm 135 and 3, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. Psalm 150 and 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Again, praise the Lord. And so John, he has this dramatic transition in his visions. From all of these earth dwellers who are mourning over the loss of Babylon the Great, and they've lost their power and their wealth. They're no longer to engage in luxury and selfish indulgence and immorality. No, now they're mourning. And to be honest, they're in agony over the wrath of God that's being poured out upon the earth in judgment. And in contrast, John hears this glorious chorus from heaven declaring hallelujah. But then, if you'll notice, there are reasons why these heavenly hosts are saying, praise ye the Lord. Three reasons initially, because salvation, glory, and power all belong to God. That's a reason to say hallelujah, because salvation belongs to God. God is the God of salvation. And glory belongs to God. As a matter of fact, all glory be to God and God alone. Hallelujah. And power belongs to God. All power. He is the all-powerful, the almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why these heavenly hosts are saying it, and that's why we should join with them and saying it. Because our God is the God who saves. And our God is a glorious God, and he has all power within himself. We should join in with these heavenly hosts. Our song should be their song. Our declaration should be their declaration. Praise the Lord. So again, I have to ask you the question, are you doing more praising these days or more complaining these days? Will tomorrow be a day of hallelujah for you? Or will you find yourself grumbling, complaining over the challenges, over the difficulties or the circumstances you might find yourself in? But listen, friends, do you know that regardless of your circumstances, heaven is declaring hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it a little bit more bluntly. because of your difficulties that God has given you. Heaven is declaring, hallelujah. Do you know God gives you difficulties? As a church right now, we're reading through the Pilgrim's Progress. I've read it so many times, and every time I read it, I just love engaging again on a journey with my old friend Christian, whose name used to be Graceless, as we found out in our reading this week. And Graceless had this burden of sin that after reading the Bible, he realized was on his back, and he couldn't get it off, and it was bearing on him, and he just wanted to know, how can I remove this burden of sin? And a man named Evangelist showed him the way through the wicket gate. And then on his journey with this burden of sin on his back, Christian made it all the way to the place of the cross. And next to the cross was an empty tomb. And as soon as Pilgrim saw the cross, the burden of sin left his back, and he was just rejoicing, and he was so glad, and he was given a new coat. His old rags were taken away, and he was given a new coat to wear, and an angelic being put a mark on his forehead, marking him for the Lord of the celestial city, and he was given a certificate that he held next to his chest, and that certificate, every time he read it, it was a reminder of the assurance of his salvation, that he was going to persevere all the way to heaven. Now, as soon as Christian experienced salvation, the first thing that happened to him on his journey now to heaven was he faced this huge mountain, and it was called the Hill of Difficulty. And Pilgrim wasn't sure he was going to be able to climb it. As a matter of fact, it was a narrow path that led up this mountain, and on both sides, the bottom of the mountain, were some of these easy paths. And he thought, well, maybe I should take the easy path around the mountain, because some of the travelers were doing that. But he knew, I've got to take the narrow path that goes up the hill of difficulty. God had placed difficulty in his life. And sure enough, he barely made it up. He started from running to walking to the time he was at the top. He was crawling on hands and feet, trying to make it up to the top of the mountain. God had given him difficulty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God will give you at times difficulty. Don't complain. Say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Even our difficulties should cause us to praise, because God deserves our constant praise. He is the God of salvation. How difficult can things be? We just read from Romans 8. There's no height, depth, separate us from the love of Christ. Things past, present, things, nothing. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. God deserves our constant praise because he saved us, he is glorious, and he is all-powerful. But there's another reason why these heavenly hosts are singing hallelujah, and we see it in verse 2. Because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot, that's Babylon, who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. And he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And so, because God not only is a God of salvation and glory and power, and this may be a little bit more difficult for you to understand, but all of heaven declares hallelujah, praise be the Lord, because he punishes sinners. He has judged them. And he has found them deserving of his wrath. Why would we say praise the Lord for that? Because our God is righteous. And because he's holy. And because, as we have learned, there will never be a true sense of justice on earth until there is divine judgment upon it. There will never be peace until there's justice. There will never be justice until there's judgment. That's why it's not for us to seek vengeance on anyone. There is a great God in heaven who will seek it himself. And that's what the hosts of heaven are declaring here, friends. They are saying hallelujah because his judgments are a reflection of his nature, of his character. God is true, therefore he will judge what is false. God is righteous, therefore he judges what is unrighteous. And what he mainly has judged is Babylon, Antichrist, his false preacher, those who have taken advantage and oppressed the poor, those who've lived lives of selfish indulgence and engaged in immorality. Hallelujah, because he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. And hallelujah, because finally God has judged those who persecuted his children. He finally is seeking vengeance for the blood of his bond servant. Now, I have to take you all the way back to Revelation 4, 5, and 6. Because in Revelation 4, there is this, again, this great chorus of heavenly hosts worshiping God around his throne. And they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty." And then Jesus appears and takes the scroll, and all of the judgments begin to unfold. And then in chapter 6, surrounding the throne of heaven are all the saints who died believing, all those who were persecuted and gave their lives for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Jesus. And what they're saying as a prayer that literally becomes an offering, and its smoke rises up as a fragrant offering to the Lord, and they say, "How long? How long, Lord, until you will revenge our blood?" And they've been saying it over and over and over, and finally now they stop saying it. And rather than saying, "How long, sovereign Lord, before you judge and avenge our blood?" Now they're saying, "Hallelujah, you're doing it. Hallelujah, your vengeance has come." And so all of this is taking place in heaven. And again, in verse 3, John hears for a second time from this voice, or these voices around the throne of heaven, "Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever," this offering of praise. And then these most glorious of heavenly creatures that we were introduced to back in chapter 4, and this will be the last time that we read about them. The 24 elders and the four living creatures who prior were, you know, were the 24 elders surrounding the throne of God would just fall down on their faces and cry out in worship, "Holy is the Lord." And the four living creatures just all the time, day and night, with eyes all around them, just always looking and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And now they are saying, as they fall down in worship, "Amen. Hallelujah. Amen." That word means, "So be it." As they see God pouring out his wrath and judgment upon the earth, destroying Babylon, "Amen, God. Judge righteously. Amen. May it be so. Hallelujah. We praise you." The most glorious of God's creatures are declaring the Amen and the hallelujah in heaven. And if this is what is taking place in heaven, my friends, this is what ought to be taking place on earth. We must be people who say to God, amen, your will be done, so be it. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Salvation and glory and power and judgment come from you. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be distraught. It doesn't matter how difficult things may get in our lives or in this world, our response should be, amen, hallelujah. Watch less news. Look at your social media less. There are hundreds and thousands of people every day who have one job, and that's to get you to keep looking at this. And the things that strike you, the things that alarm you, I don't know how this works, but they have algorithms that will put more things that will do the same, just so you will keep watching. And they'll make money off of your fear. And they do a very good job of it. But if you belong to God, why? Why would you be afraid? You already know the end. You already know things are going to have to get worse before they ultimately get better. You know that this universe will have to come to the point of nearly falling apart before Christ returns and there is complete redemption that takes place. You know that there is nothing that has taken place in 2020, especially in your life, that has caused the host of heavens to stop and go, oh no, we didn't expect that to happen to you. They're saying amen, hallelujah, in light of everything that is taking place. And if they are doing so night and day, so should we. Now, will God continue to allow injustice and evil to persist? Yes, he will. Until Christ returns, he will. So be it. He's just given us more time to reach more people. Will God, when he does decide to judge the world, will he overlook any sin? No, absolutely not. Every sin will be dealt with at final judgment. You see, the biggest question is, what about mine? On the day of judgment, will God overlook my sins? Well, that depends. See, friends, only if your sins have been dealt with on the cross will God be able to overlook them, because they've already been paid for. Because on the cross, God poured out his wrath on Jesus as a substitute, so he wouldn't pour his wrath out upon you. That's why we need to repent of sin and place our complete and utter faith in Jesus Christ, so that we, like the Pilgrim's Progress, will be clothed with the righteousness of Christ and marked by God as his child and assured of our perseverance, so that we can live a life of amen, hallelujah, regardless of the challenges that we might face. If you find yourself doubting, if you find yourself struggling, you have to ask yourself in that moment, what am I believing right now? And I want you to do that this week. The moment you find yourself complaining, I want you to ask, what am I believing in this moment? You're not believing in the God who has saved you, who is glorious, who is all-powerful, and who is our judge. No, you actually have decided God is less than who he is, and that's why you find room to complain or be afraid. You see, if you will just believe as heaven believes, there will be nothing except amen, hallelujah. There's a little book that my wife introduced to me. It's written by Charles Spurgeon. And it's called The Practice of Praise. You can buy it for like $3. It's a treasure, and I commend it to you. The whole book is why we should praise, how we should praise. And he says, we're going to be doing it in heaven forever, so we might as well practice it now. The practice of praise. That's the Christian life until we get to heaven. Let's practice what we're doing forever and ever. Spurgeon asked the question, why should I practice praising? And his answer, simple. Because God loves you. He's given you his home. And he's given you his son. What better reasons do we have? Why should we praise? Because he loves us. He's given us his home. And he's given us his son. In verse 5 and 6, we get to the final hallelujah. But there's now the attention is turned away from heaven back down to earth. So a voice from the very throne of God, the very center of heaven, says, and now this voice is going to go from heaven down to all of the believers that remain on earth in this moment. Give praise to our God, all of you who are his bondservants, all of you who believe, all of you who are his saints, you who fear him, both the small and the great. And now John hears a second choir. I love this. He had just heard the multitude of heavenly hosts declare, amen, hallelujah. And now he's going to hear a choir made up of people, great and small, from every corner of the world. All those who have gone through this time of persecution and still remain faithful to Jesus Christ. And the declaration is, give praise to our God. Don't mourn. Give praise, all you bond servants, all you who fear him. And then John said, I heard something like the voice of a great multitude. Oh, this choir was so immense and so loud, John says. It was like the sound of rushing waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunders. And what were all of these saints on earth saying? Hallelujah. For the Lord, our God, the Almighty, reigns. No longer does Antichrist reign. No longer does Satan reign. No, hallelujah, praise be the Lord, because now we know our Lord, our God, the Almighty reigns. And all of the earth dwellers will join into this chorus with all of the heaven dwellers. And everything that belongs to God will now declare the great hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you're a Christian, you're going to be a part of that choir. Now, to be honest, I think I'll be dead and gone from this earth by then, but I'll just be in heaven with the heavenly hosts singing hallelujah. If you're here and you remain, you'll be at this moment singing along with me. And we'll all be counted as a part of this glorious choir. And that'll be our song that day. And we'll be singing along with the great faithful people that we read from the scriptures. And maybe there in that heavenly choir, you'll find yourself next to Adam and Eve. And you'll hear them say, hallelujah. Because finally, the Lord our God Almighty has undone the curse that we began when we sinned. Amen. Hallelujah. And maybe you'll find yourself next to Abraham and you'll hear old Abraham say, hallelujah. Because now I know the Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. He made a promise to me so many thousand years ago that one day there would be worshipers as vast as the sands of the sea on the seashores from every tribe and tongue. And now I see it. And now I hear it. And God has made right on his promise to me. Now we're all saying hallelujah together. Or maybe you'll find your way next to King David. He loved to sing. And David will say, hallelujah. The Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. That's my son. His name is Jesus. He's also my Lord and my God. And he is the greater king. And his kingdom will last forever. Hallelujah. Maybe you'll sing along with the apostles. Maybe Mary. Maybe you'll join the chorus with the great saints in the early church, the many who gave their lives for the faith. Maybe you'll just find a loved one that you know died in faith and now is in the presence of the Lord. Maybe I'll find my mom and dad. And we will sing, hallelujah. The Lord God Almighty, he reigns. We lost a dear brother this week, Vern Regler. Vern had abused his body and his family through alcoholism for many, many years. And then he became a believer. And you talk about the joy of the Lord in somebody. You had a conversation with Mr. Vern. You saw it. He's there. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Vern is saying today. Listen. Our God reigns. That's what I need for you to take home today. Our God reigns. Even though there's still injustice in this world, our God reigns. Even though hatred runs rampant in the streets and the cities of our nation, our God reigns. Even though there are politicians who only seek out for their own personal interests, our God reigns. Even though there are churches that will close their doors in our lifetime, our God reigns. Even though you'll doubt at times and question God, he still reigns. Even though you will allow fear to overwhelm you at times and allow your circumstances to have a brief victory in your life, our God still reigns. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because our God reigns regardless. And that's why we say amen and hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for complaining, living in fear, doubt, allowing depression to seep into our souls, allowing the cares of this world to overwhelm us, allowing news to dictate the emotions of our heart. Forgive us for letting the things of this world steal away our joy. But most of all, Father, would you forgive us for not living lives of hallelujah? You reign. But now, Father, we declare the truth. Along with those holy creatures surrounding your throne and the saints who have died and who are now in the presence of the Lord, we say with them, you reign. Praise be to you, God. And now, Father, if you would, by your Spirit, help us to live lives of hallelujah. Help us to bring glory as we declare your glory to this broken world. And may many others come to faith because of the praise that they see in us. And this all is because of Jesus, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now let's stand and worship like we mean it.